This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Never been better.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Beautiful day out. I like it.
Gorgeous.
It feels good, right? Yeah. It feels like it should feel like this.
Sure.
You don't want it all the time,
dark,
but
in the afternoon.
I do like it.
I thought for sure yesterday, I left the house yesterday, I thought, oh, it's cold out, it's drizzling. And I went outside, and it was like 67 degrees.
Yeah.
Then I made the same mistake today. I thought, oh, it's probably cold out there.
Not too bad out.
No, it's still warm.
Mm-mm.
It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving's next week, right? Yeah, it's today's already the 18th, so it's next week.
Yeah.
It does not feel like it. I mean, it looks like it, I guess, so that's fine. But how was your weekend?
Not bad.
Good.
I didn't do too much, but...
Watch a lot of sports. There was plenty of sports to watch Friday night, if you could watch it Friday night.
I watched it, man. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
It's two days later, but the buffering was like, it almost made it unwatchable.
Well, at one point I was like, forget it. I just thought, I'll just watch this when I can watch it. I'll have to watch this later tonight because I'm getting kicked out. And it got, probably not surprisingly, it got really bad, like, as the fight's about to start.
Yeah.
That's when I'd had a bad picture that would buffer.
Yeah, right.
But it just started actually kicking me out.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? And so then I pulled it up on the illegal stream. Like, I have a Netflix.
Antonio Brown?
I pulled it up on whichever one Poncho sent me the... I don't know. We've used it before for, like, Royals games and stuff
like
that.
There was one allegedly. I don't know if it was Antonio Brown's phone or...
Instagram video?
Well, no. He just had a link up, and I went there, and someone in the crowd was just filming the Jumbotron.
Gotcha.
The Jumbotron. So I took that, and we went out in the garage and then mirrored it in the garage. So we watched that for a minute, and then I saw there was, like, 1.6 million people watching... the stream off someone's phone of the Jumbotron.
God damn. Okay, I didn't hear that.
So
they
then,
had this stream that was like what should have been the Netflix stream. It was the Netflix stream, but it seemed to be working better on the, you know, the illegal streaming website.
But then that started stalling in like the second round.
Yeah.
So then I went back inside and then it was fine.
Okay. It did get better. I wonder if people just were like, well, if no one wins in the first round or second round, then I'm done. Because they seemed to fix it. But I mean, it was bad for at least a couple of hours leading into it. That whole women's fight was, at least for my TV, was bad. My brother kept saying, like, it works on my phone better.
That was awesome.
That was a good fight.
It was awesome, man. As a boxing fan, and the fight before it was good.
I didn't see
that. But as a boxing fan, like, everybody was talking about women's boxing, and then I tweeted it, but to me it was the truth. I went into it being like, oh, you know, we'll watch women's boxing. And I ended up watching that fight and was like, that was just boxing. That was two fighters.
Yep.
Like, there was nothing women about it.
It was good.
With the exception of the fact that they were women.
Yep.
But... I was just as excited, and my boys were just as excited watching it, and I was like, that was, quote-unquote, women's sports at its finest. That's the first time in my life I wasn't like, oh, look, it's women playing soccer or women playing basketball, and knowing in my head the difference. I was like, this is two fighters, and they're boxing, and it is awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was a little surprising.
Like, I would pay for, there's no doubt in my mind, and me and the boys talked about it, we would pay pay-per-view to see the third one of that.
You would?
I would. It was that good.
I mean, I would definitely be interested. And if it was on Showtime or something, I would go out of my way. I don't know that I paid for it in the moment, but I'd want to check out what happened afterwards. But I thought it was a little interesting that they gave, what's her name, Katie, right?
Yeah.
That they gave her the win over Serrano again. After all the talk leading up, they said, oh, well, this last fight, you know, they said Katie won, but everyone said, you know, a lot of people thought that that was the wrong decision. Then at the end of this fight, you've got everyone on TV and the unofficial point scores saying it looks like Serrano won this anyway you score it.
Right.
And then they came back and said she was the winner. Now, so I thought that was surprising. You've got everyone on TV saying this, and if you're going to have a fight go this way, you have two of them go this way for the same person both times. But I heard the next day, which would make sense, I don't know if it's true, that because Jake Paul is whatever, he somehow Serrano's on his team or he sponsors her or whatever.
Yeah. They both live in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that maybe the announcers were being biased towards her because this whole broadcast was kind of a Jake Paul production. I don't know if that's true, but I think it was weird.
Watching the fight, I thought the fight was a lot closer. Now, I know it was close in the end, but I thought it was a lot closer, and I was like, man, that Kenny girl's doing pretty good. Like, and I was just surprised at how much the announcers were saying the other girl was winning. I was like,
I'm really not keeping score.
When you watch, you know, any sport where there's no scoring that you can see, you know, an announcer can really make you biased as to what you're seeing.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I thought they did that. I didn't think, like, I think that other girl won, but I don't think, like, and what I thought was really interesting about that fight was, like, everybody's saying it's a fight of the year. Another fight of the year for these two women. One of the greatest fights we've seen, right?
Yeah.
And then one of them was robbed. That's not possible. Because if it's the fight of the year, then it means it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
Usually someone getting robbed is like, that dude's kicking this guy's ass. Why? What happened here, right?
Yeah.
This one was like, no, they're really, really, really close, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was good.
I thought it was so funny at the end of the fight. I don't know if you were watching or if you stepped away, but after the fight and they're talking to Serrano and her trainer, and the trainer comes up and he's talking about Katie headbutting Serrano. And he goes, and look, Katie's a beautiful woman, but she has a huge head.
Right. An extraordinarily large head.
Whatever he said, I was dying laughing.
Yeah.
But I was like, well, at least he prefaced that with, you know, she's
a beautiful
woman. It
seemed like they were friends.
Yeah, they respect her.
You know, and then I saw, you know, Serrano say, like, tweet afterwards, like, hey, in the heat of the moment, I said some stuff that she was a dirty fighter and that stuff. It's not true.
Well, your eye was hanging it off of your face. I mean, your eyelid looked like it was going to
Why weren't you talking
to the doctor then? You don't need to stick around to talk to the cameras after that. Go to the doctor.
I don't even know what else to call it, but it sounds gross when I say it to me.
It looked like brain matter.
Like a piece of meat.
I know.
Eyebrow meat fell out of her head at one point.
I was like,
disgusting. I would have just started crying.
And when it was over and she's got, you know, they've glued it or whatever, but it's still just that huge gaping wound.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't look at this. I can't. You got to go get that taken care of. That cannot be right. But
I got to think her corner did know that she was behind in the card. They at least didn't think that she was winning enough. When that fight and the doctor came over twice, because it was an accidental headbutt, she could have said any time after that, I can't go on.
Oh, okay.
And they would have taken it to the cards. Because it was after the fourth round. If that happens before the fourth round. So they weren't that confident that if we go to the cards right now, we're going to win.
Yeah.
So they didn't feel that confident about that fight going into it, or at least
in
the sixth round or so. They didn't feel like they had it won. So.
Yeah. Well, it was good. I mean,
I thought it was great. Those women were unbelievable. And I call them women only because
they're women.
They're women, but those fighters were unbelievable, and it was fun to watch.
It was amazing. You know, it seems like a lot of people were let down by the Paul Tyson fight, not just because Tyson lost, but just I think they were expecting something different. I don't know exactly what they were expecting. I mean, I know. You can look at what people were betting in Vegas. People were hoping for a knockout one way or the other, or all kinds of fun things happened. It just ended up being Mike kind of started to look his age a little bit. That was the top thing that I saw people saying, like, oh, did they, you know, when I was watching him train and everything, it didn't seem like it. Now suddenly he looks like he's older. I thought he actually looked pretty good. I mean, the guy's 60 years old.
I mean,
I thought he looked pretty good. But there's all these conspiracy theories. Well, I guess even Jake Paul saying that he didn't want to hurt Tyson, that there was some sort of contract or a clause in the contract. Did you hear this about the knockout thing?
I heard that he couldn't knock him out in the first round.
That was is that true?
The longer it went on, he made more money.
Tyson wasn't allowed to knock out Paul.
If you knocked him out in the first round, he didn't make money.
That started going around on Friday. I was like,
but I don't know how much
seems...
of that is true. And how
me neither.
It wouldn't be the first time we've been duped by boxers.
Yes.
But, man, I feel like that would get out somehow.
Right. We know some of the stuff they did. They changed the glove sizes. They changed the rounds, the length of the rounds. That stuff, okay, sure. But if they actually put that in the contract, I don't think that it would get out word of mouth-wise to where we would know about it. You know what I mean? It would either leak and be a scandal, or we wouldn't know about it at all. But, look, you got to fight. You want to see Tyson fight? You got to see him fight.
After eight full rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for the official decision. Declaring your winner by unanimous decision, Jake Elgarold, Paul!
Now, after the fight, they asked Tyson if he thought that this would be the last time. And Tyson's like, I don't think so. I think maybe he couldn't hear the guy. I don't know, because he got on social media afterwards and basically said... That was it.
Well, and he said, after the fight, he says, well, who would you fight next? And he was like, maybe his brother.
Yeah.
And did you see his brother standing there?
No, uh-uh.
Oh, because he's like, well, maybe his brother. And Logan Paul was standing there, and he looked around, and he's like, MF-er, I'll have to kill you.
Yeah, let's just be done. So. Let's just be done. But maybe they will. I mean, look, I'd love to know, at the end of the day, how a company like Netflix quantifies what that was worth to them. Because, you know, any of these, like, cost-plus companies, whatever they call that, where you pay a subscription... How do they figure that out? You just look at total number of viewers, and then I guess they want to know how many new subscribers did we get. And I'm sure they got a lot on Friday night. I know a lot of people were asking for passwords, and it's like, you can't password share anymore.
Right.
You know, trying to figure out, trying to get logged back in. And then, of course, the amount of people complaining. And it wasn't just like sports dudes. It was a lot of people, male, female, all different backgrounds who were talking about that fight on Friday.
It's the first time... In a long time, and I was trying to think back, I don't know if I can really say another time, where it felt like America collectively stopped and did something together. It was insane.
Well, outside of the Super Bowl, right?
But, I felt like even more, I don't know if it was more people, but...
This was international
for sure. It just felt like... You know, I don't know what they ended up viewership is, 60 million or something they said.
And how will we ever really know? It's tough to know with Netflix. We don't have like a third-party ratings company that can come out and tell the press.
So
but
who does know? But it really felt like, man, in the first time in a long time, like everybody just...
All excited about the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And watching it, like not just... Like the Super Bowl, yes, but there's a lot of time you're just watching. You're at a party and who cares? No one cares. It's a Super Bowl. This was like, wow. Everyone is glued onto this fight. Like, it was pretty crazy. I did feel bad for the fight before it with Serrano and...
Katie, whatever her name is.
Yeah, because I was like, man, they put on such a good fight. And I know a lot of people saw it for the first time, and they got a lot of credit. I'm like, but, man, having to log out of it and log back into it all the time. You know, at one point, I couldn't get it on, and they were fighting, and then... Chacha was like, they're in the third round. I'm like, God damn it.
Oh, because it took you that long?
And then it was, you know what I mean? You're like, where am I? What, you know?
I got a little tired of I know it's a big fight. You want to make as much money as possible. You can do all the lead up. But when Jake Paul was riding out there in that truck, when he's riding out to the ring in the truck, by that point, and I hadn't been watching that long. I watched the women's fight, but I didn't have it on before that. But still, that truck is halfway out to the ring, and I'm like, okay, guys, you've been walking out to the ring for 20 minutes. Like, let's go. And then, of course, by the time they got to the ring, I got logged out of Netflix.
Right. Oh, that was a lot of what I was saying, too. Like, I like the intro.
I'm usually into it.
It wasn't great, but I was also like, yo, you got to speed this up, man, because we're losing time here, man.
Exactly.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on a few of these. Obviously, I know the Lions game.
They looked pretty good.
Pretty good.
My lock was locked.
Yeah. Well, we think, you know, Vegas, they know what they're doing with those spreads. Yeah. Even if it seems like they're giving you enough, it might not be. The Lions, what was the final? 52-6. Yeah, 50-something to 6. So the Lions, obviously the best team in the NFC. Are they the best team in the NFL? That seems to be
as a Lions
the debate
fan,
at this point.
It's scary to say. There's a ball just waiting to bounce off a helmet somewhere.
Well, I know Nick Wright texted it to us this morning, but also I heard someone else on a sports show talking about it, that they are, the Lions are the NFC favorite to make it to the Super Bowl right now, which is the first time they've ever been the favorite.
I think they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, the favorite to win it. Okay, and it's the first time they've ever been the favorite to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And they've been a team since before there was football, essentially.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Come on. You got to be a little bit excited.
I am.
But you're just cautiously optimistic.
Yeah,
you're
waiting, I mean, I've been a fan for my entire life. It's not, you know, it never works out the way you want it to work out.
Well, you thought that Goff should be considered for MVP, and last week he had a bad week, but this week
he still won, and he played exactly when he needed to.
And yesterday he turned things around. So,
I mean, I don't know who's having a better year than him. Who's having a better year than Jared Goff? Like, literally, who?
The names I hear mentioned, I hear Josh Allen mentioned. I heard it mentioned this morning by someone, don't remember who, that he's having a good year. He's one of the tops. Lamar's gone down a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of Lamar, I mean, well, we can get to that. But who's the other name? It's Allen, Lamar, I don't know. Goff and the whatever I was listening to, they had him at the, when they were reading the odds, he was like, you know, fifth or sixth or something like that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, he's having a good year. The team's having a good year. How long has Campbell been there? In Detroit. How many seasons is this? Is this his fourth season, third season? How many seasons?
Third or fourth.
Because the
first year, they didn't do great.
Right.
Yeah.
But it didn't take him long.
No.
He hasn't been there that long. So, Lions, I don't want to jinx anything. I know you're nervous about that. So, we can move on. But the Lions look good. They're the favorite to win the Super Bowl now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to look at the other stats. But I'm looking at Goss right now. A 73% completion rate.
This
20
is for the
touchdowns,
season?
Yeah, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and 5 of those were in the same game.
Yeah, they were all last week.
Right. I mean,
he's in the conversation. More importantly, the Lions are in the conversation for win, not just appearing, but winning the Super Bowl. So, speaking of coaches that turn things around quickly, I think maybe the game of the weekend was that Chargers-Bengals game. It just didn't so far. I don't have a dog in that fight. Obviously, they're both AFC teams. I'm interested. Lazo's a Harbaugh fan, so I know what he's thinking when he's watching the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's been saying it as soon as it was announced that Harbaugh was going to the Chargers. I think you thought it would take a little bit longer for the Chargers maybe to be where they are now. I mean, they're 7-3.
They're 7-3. You can see what he's building.
Yeah.
You know, I know I posted on Facebook a couple times, and you know, people are like, oh, you're an idiot, you know. You don't know what you're talking about. But I'm like, look, I mean, he's going to do what he does. And I'm not saying he can beat the Chiefs. I'm not saying he's going to win a Super Bowl. But I'm telling you, he's going to have a really strong offensive line. They're going to play good defense. They're not going to ask too much of their quarterback. But what they are going to ask him to do is on third downs, you got to make that throw.
Yeah.
You got to be good enough to do it. And, you know,
that's
we're
going to
run the ball and we'll start beating you up. That's what they're
going to do. They certainly look like a playoff team this year. Not next year, the year after. They look like... I mean, the Bengals are... The whole Bengals thing is kind of crazy because now they're 4-7, right? I think they're 4-7. I mean, that's... It's not like they're getting their asses kicked.
No,
if you look at some of these
good,
games that they lose, but you just go back and look at the games where it's like it was kind of a toss-up. And
it
looks like they just lost
all
of those. Yeah. I mean, that was a crazy game. Actually, I did think there was one weird coaching thing, which I've never known Harbaugh to make any mistakes. But towards the end of the game there, I just thought that was kind of weird clock management when it felt like they need to run, the Chargers need to run a little bit of time off the clock, and he's just passing. He's just passing on first, passing on second. There's no running whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they ended up, I think they...
They gave it right back to him.
Like
I thought about the same thing, too.
Yeah,
and
it's a little weird, but
that's not really his MO. So I was a little surprised by that, too.
But they won, so it doesn't matter. If they'd lost, then maybe we'd be talking about it more. But they won. The Bengals, I guess, are probably done at this point.
I mean,
4-7, they kept... I'm tired of it when you hear these sports people say, this week is a must-win week. And once you hear that 3-4 weeks in a row and they've lost each of those games, you go, it must not be. Either that's over with or it never mattered because they've lost several of those games now. So at 4-7, I would think maybe next year. I don't know what's going to happen next year because things are going to change for them next year. That's all the talk that you keep hearing, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people, Jamar Chase wants to leave. We'll see.
But the Bills are 9-2.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs didn't get their asses kicked.
No.
So for those people who thought, oh, the way the Chiefs played the Broncos and the way they've been struggling the last couple weeks just to put any point, well, they didn't get their asses kicked by Buffalo.
No.
I mean, they did have some turnovers, and Mahomes had some ugly throws.
Ugly
which
throws.
Which is not normal for him.
Well, it was almost like Mahomes was Josh Allen, Josh Allen was Mahomes. It's what we remember. Like, some of those throws from Mahomes was like, dude, you can't throw that. But you don't want to tell him,
away with it.
But you don't want to tell him not to throw it because, you know, over the course of years, those plays have turned into touchdowns. But now they're turning into interceptions sometimes, and, you know, that's scary.
And two of those big catches were balls that, even with the catch, I'm like, you should not have thrown that ball.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But then I have that same thought. It's Mahomes. You don't win Super Bowls by not being aggressive. You can't just be Alex Smith protecting the
and
ball.
And let him do what he does.
But, man, some of that just did not look like Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs get that holding call. You know, Mahomes busts for that big run. I don't remember how many yards it was. However many yards it was.
Right.
Towards the end of the game. And it gets called back for holding. And, look, I'm a Chiefs fan.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Chiefs... Are the refs on the Chiefs side? I don't know. I know other people say that they are. Okay, fine. That they're the Patriots now, and the refs want Mahomes and company to win. But that holding call, you go, well, if they want someone to win, then they wanted Buffalo to win
today.
Because I'm not saying that's not a penalty. I'm just saying that that's the kind of thing that usually doesn't get called for any team, I don't think.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I've been a Chiefs fan the last few years. They don't call that stuff. But it didn't look like it was affecting the play at
itself,
all.
Right, yeah.
That's when you go, okay, well, they're going to call that because he couldn't get to him. But you know, it's a close game, but in the end, something like that, that'll cost you the game. But
well, plus that fourth down run.
Yeah.
Like,
that's it.
Josh Allen, that was it. That was nice.
Yeah, at that point, you just know game is
over. This is the chance. Quarterback's legs.
Fakes left, now taking off. Gonna run for it, he got it! And there he goes! Inside the 10, the 5! Oh, the play of the year in the NFL!
The player of the year in the NFL. Is he the top favorite? I'd have to go back and look. You can bet on the apps who's gonna win MVP. And I looked at
it. They won't give it to Goff, but he deserves it.
He's on there, though, somewhere. I think he was in the top 5 players, which is... pretty good. I'm afraid to say anything about the Lions now because every time I say something about the Lions, I hear Laszlo's voice of like, you Chiefs fans. You know, always that you're almost there, guys. Just one step away. You're so close. You'll get there.
Well,
I try very hard not to do that.
I watch it, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, that Mahomes guy, you know, he's pretty good. Just has to learn how to
protect the ball.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he hasn't been around as much as Jared Goff. Just, you know, not every play has to be a home run. There doesn't have to be desperate. It's okay to throw it away.
You got to get Goff out of your head. You can't beat him.
No,
you're
don't
not
try
be
to
him,
be him.
So just stop thinking about it.
Right. Mahomes
just
got
to
realize, like, don't be. You're not Jared Goff.
You're not going to catch your own pass.
Right. You're not Jared Goff. You're not going to, you know, have a 90% completion rate. Like, it just, you know.
What can you do?
But just, you know, if you got to throw it away, throw it away. Be Mahomes.
Yeah. Other games. I thought that Broncos kicked the crap out of Atlanta, but Atlanta sucks. Or the AFC is just weird because the Steelers look as scary as ever now. And, I mean, the Steelers beat the Ravens, which we said, I think, last week. Like, that is a very real possibility. Never count them out.
No.
And they've been looking good the last couple of weeks. They beat the Ravens, so suddenly you go, there's another team to be scared of. The AFC, it feels like there's quite a few of those teams where you go,
yeah, they're pretty good.
That's a tough team.
Pretty good.
The NFC, I'm not so sure. I also just don't follow the NFC as closely.
Yeah,
but I feel like the AFC's got a few of those
Detroit,
teams right now that
Philly,
are all tough.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
It's Detroit for sure, and then is
Philly's
Philly
good.
Number two?
I think they're good.
You got this Cowboys game tonight, right? It's the Texans and the Cowboys. And, I mean, the Cowboys, they're not any good.
No.
So, I think they won 2 games or 3
they're
games?
Bad.
No more than 3. And the Texans are pretty good. So, I'm not saying they're great, but they're a pretty good team. Of course, they couldn't beat the Lions, but, again, let's be realistic.
They probably played better than them.
They came close. They came close. I mean, I think Goff just wanted to show anyone who's been saying the Texans are good. I'll throw 5 picks in one game.
And we'll still beat them?
We'll still beat them. I'll get a guy who was selling bricks last week to kick our field goals for us, and we'll still beat them. So there is that, but I would like to bet a little money on tonight's game. I mean, it's Monday night. There's only the one game. You know, I just don't know what to bet on because the Texans will win that game. Although, the Cowboys should win a game again at some point. I think they'll win more than 3 games this year.
I
wouldn't start with tonight's game. against the Texans.
Although, I mean, they could.
They could.
They seem bad.
They're
pretty
bad, as far as I know.
I got Pride of Central Michigan.
I'm sure. I didn't even look at the spread. I'm sure they're underdogs by quite a bit, because, like I said, the Texans are pretty good. But now, if you go, who's the team to beat? Well, in the NFC, it's the Lions. But then in the AFC, if the Chiefs should be nervous about anybody, it's the Bills. But I think you're also nervous about the Steelers now.
Yeah, the Ravens are still
and
good.
The Ravens, because are you going to beat the Ravens both times you face them? You know, that's tough to do, to beat them twice in a season. So I do think, honestly, part of me was worried that the Chiefs could get their ass kicked yesterday. If they couldn't get anything going on offense and just struggle a little
that
bit.
That defense is going to keep them in games. They're good.
Yeah,
they're a good team.
They
could beat the Bills. They're going to be fine. You know,
Who knows
if they're going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's hard to win a Super Bowl. So
yeah.
But they've won it twice.
And so, if you're going to only beat the Bills once a season, do it later.
Yeah.
That's fine by me.
Yeah, they really get paid for this.
You believe this shit?
The Church of Laszlo.
Amen, brother.
98.9 The Rock.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Hi. Well, are you going to fill us in on what's going on in the news? Or?
Yes, I am. Remember that story? I think it came out last week, maybe it was a week before, but not too long ago, about Mahomes and Kelce both had their homes burglarized.
Oh, yeah.
And
I thought you were going to talk about something, the reason why Mahomes doesn't throw him the ball to Kelce.
I'd like to know.
Throw him the ball.
All I ever hear is the same thing. Well, they double-team Kelce, so...
Give him the goddamn ball.
You know, that's why those other guys are open. How do people know that? I heard our boss say something about
two
that earlier.
Two receptions, 8 yards.
It's not like they're always showing Kelce on every play where you can see him the full route. So people just assume that that's what's happening, that he's being double teamed the whole time.
Where they're lined up, where they're lined up.
And just assume that means that they're doing it throughout the game.
Yeah, I guess you don't always see it, but yeah, you can tell, I guess.
Because there were complaints about him. You know, he needs to get his head in the game, and then it looked like he was playing pretty well, and then...
I mean, he was playing hard yesterday. Like, I could see, like, you know, if you're watching, like, I've watched him a lot, like, just from the, you know, as you're watching the game, like, try to find him.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like he changed shoes in the second half. I don't know if anybody knows.
Oh, really?
Had, like, real bright yellow shoes, and then they came back out, and he said, "Wait, shoes on." That's how much I was focusing on.
Okay. I didn't notice that.
He was blocking hard downfield. Like,
he's pretty good at that.
He was in a lot of plays, but I just didn't throw it to him.
Well, I don't know. It seems like his house did get broken into. So did Mahomes. Remember, originally they said that Kelce's house, I think they said it was $20,000 in cash. But then I heard later that it was more stuff than that. It was jewelry, and that it might have been tens of thousands, maybe even more, in jewelry. So I don't know if any of that stuff has actually been substantiated or not. But it turns out it's not just Mahomes and Kelce. There are quite a few pro athletes whose houses have been robbed. And now the police are wondering if this is somehow connected. No, that's just it. Because they're saying, are these connected? I'm like, well, the Mahomes-Kelce thing could be connected here because they're both here, right?
Right, sure.
But if you start robbing NBA players' houses in other states, I would assume it's not connected, but maybe it is. Maybe it's like the Bling Ring, except this time it's for sports, and they're finding these houses nationwide. We're going to find out later this is some sort of a TikTok scam. You know, hey, here's where these guys live. Go rob them. So you hadn't seen about these other guys who'd been robbed recently? Okay.
While I was at my game, I had a home invasion, and they took most of my prized possessions.
Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis saying two masked men broke in when it was obvious he wasn't at home.
I am now offering a $40,000 cash reward for any information or tips.
Police reported a break-in at the home of Minnesota Timberwolves point guard Mike Connolly Jr.'s home in September. And just last month, two back-to-back burglaries at the homes of Super Bowl-winning quarterback Patrick Mahomes and tight end Travis Kelce.
Okay. It's his most prized possessions that he wants back, so he's offering $40,000 if he can help get his stuff back. I wonder what that stuff is. What could it be? What would be the thing that would have the most sentimental value if someone stole it from your house? Baby photos, kids' photos, home videos. I always think of the old home video.
I got all that stuff probably on the cloud somewhere.
Yeah, I have some of those home videos. I do not. I need to get them. up there, but that would probably be the thing. Like, if you said, take anything but this, that would probably be the thing. I said, well, don't take the home videos because I don't.
Right.
I don't have any more. The old ones, you know, the old VHS tapes. I haven't ever gotten switched over like I need to. But otherwise, I obviously don't have a lot of valuable stuff in my home.
Yeah, so
I can't offer them things like, here, please take this. I don't have a lot of stuff that they probably want. I certainly don't have $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 pieces of jewelry. So that's off the table. But you go into an athlete's house or any celebrity who's rich and famous, that stuff can be available. And I don't know, maybe someone on Twitch knows, but I thought that they'd said that that's what they'd taken from Kelsey's now was some jewelry. There was the cash, and then also that they'd taken some really expensive jewelry from his house. The stuff about Mahomes, I feel like they've kept that sort of tight-lipped, too. You know, it's an ongoing investigation, as they say. Right. Maybe they want to make sure that if someone comes forward and says, hey, I know the guy who stole the stuff. He's got his stuff. What did he take?
Right.
Well, he took this chain that says, that way they know. Okay, because we haven't released that information to the public, so you're not just wasting our time.
Right, or maybe if they're trying to sell it, they can, you know, they don't want the people to know that they know.
That's true, too. Make sure that those pawn shops are aware. We're looking for this, but don't put out a press release or anything. Could it be connected nationally that athletes' houses are being broken into? The only thing I could see is if there were someone organizing something online where they said, here's their addresses, and we're starting to stake out when they're home and when they're not home. We have an idea because obviously they're athletes, so we know when they're going to be gone for games, and we can stake their house out to see if they have security.
Maybe more loosely, like, hey, here's how you do it, guys.
Could that be it?
You know what I mean? Maybe just loosely, like, hey, you want to steal money? Like, here you go. You got these rich athletes. They always got stuff in their house. You can find out where they live. Just Google, you know, this person's house.
Right.
And then, you know, look up their practice schedule. You know, so maybe it's more of like a how-to.
Yeah. I would have thought before the Bling Ring stuff that a celebrity's house was probably one of the hardest houses to get into. They're rich. They've got good security. They might even have security guards that are there all the time. There's a lot of valuables inside. Turns out a lot of them leave back doors open, front doors open,
like everybody
as
else,
well.
Right?
Now, I think, was it Kelsey that they said they kicked his door in?
Yes.
Or was it Mahomes? I think it was Kelsey that they said they kicked his door in. With Mahomes,
they said there was
I think they said there wasn't, right? So someone, they found a way in.
Yeah.
So, if you want money, you're not going to find it, like I said, probably at a lot of houses on my street. Not like that. But I always thought, well, of course, that's why these big mansions are so well guarded, but maybe they're not. I'm not suggesting anyone go out and do it.
No.
And I wouldn't do it. You can't talk me into it. I was never much of a thief, like stealing stuff.
No.
I never went through that phase, and I've always been kind of scared to do it.
The risk isn't worth the reward.
That was my thing always. Someone said, let's go to Kmart and steal digital cameras and CDs. I'm like, but then what happens?
Well, I really need it.
Right. How much money are we going to make selling this to someone? And then how much
like
trouble do I get in? Because I think it's a felony. And I just don't need to start that at 14 or 15. I don't know what age that is.
The only stuff I was interested in stealing, you know, as a teenager was booze from the store.
Yeah, the stuff you had to steal.
Right.
A little bit of booze,
I gotta do it.
Cigarettes occasionally before I was 18. You had to do that. But I'm certainly not going to break into someone's house. I don't want to break into someone's car either. But I guess you could convince me to steal something from a store long before you could do the other. Me neither. Break into a...
I don't like shoplifting. It just feels like the risk is worth the reward.
I did a very, very small amount of it. I was hanging out with these guys. I was trying to make friends, and they stole stuff constantly. And one time, they wanted me to steal stuff with them. I was like... Oh,
what did you steal?
It was dumb stuff. It was the reason I said it. It was like digital cameras and CDs.
Oh.
And I was like, this is so stupid. But we did go steal booze.
Just not a necessity.
Right next door afterwards. So, and I didn't get caught, luckily. But those kids who go through that phase where they're stealing everything, and a lot of those kids felt, it seemed like they didn't need to steal.
Right.
A lot of those girls that I saw or heard about stealing stuff constantly, their family had money. I think it was a high for them, a rush.
Yeah, I'm
sure.
No, there's an adrenaline rush, for sure.
I don't long for that adrenaline rush.
No, you steal stuff from the grocery store.
I do that. Yeah, if it's a self-checkout. Yeah, I take stuff. I feel like it's owed to me. I do. But the idea
of
breaking in somewhere, stealing stuff from a store, like a retail store, not all that interested, but certainly breaking into someone's house. There's no way, point. No one could...
Not like the risk isn't worth the reward in the sense that, what am I going to get? Could there be someone in there? Am I going to get killed? Am I going to go to jail? Do I have to kill someone? Like, it's just too much.
It's way too
much. If stealing a TV out of Target, I guess, if somebody just said, you know, hey, walking this thing out on a, you know, a dolly or something, they let you go. Maybe, you know, I wouldn't now, but maybe years ago I would have given it a shot.
Yeah, there might have been a brief window there. And, you know, you hear these stories about, well, the kid's brain is not fully developed. They don't know right from wrong all the way, and they don't think this stuff through. So I get that, but I think even at any of those ages, I still would have been too scared to break into a house.
I certainly am not going to break into Mahomes' house.
No, like, wait, that's saying, the last place. If you're telling me to break into houses, that's the last one. Right, this is high profile. The cops will look. Yeah, they're going to hate you. The cops are definitely going to look. And I would think, I would be telling my friends, this is impossible. You cannot sneak into, break into a multi-millionaire's mansion.
No,
there's no way.
They're going to try to catch you.
They have security. They have security guards. I mean, they are trying to catch them, and they might catch these people. Right. I don't know. But those people did do it. And just like with the Paris Hilton stuff, just walking in there and just taking good stuff. That's the other thing, because if I do break into someone's house, that's a huge risk. The risk is the same, whether I'm breaking into your house or Kelsey's house. The felony's the same.
Yeah.
Once it, just breaking
in. The reward is more.
The reward,
Kelsey's.
Though, is so much potential
risk,
upside.
The risk is more if you break into Kelsey.
I think you're right. I think the cops look harder. I think it should be harder to get into.
Right. You've got cameras and who knows, a lot of different stuff.
I was kind of surprised that they don't have a security guard who's there all the time. Although, I think they said
with the Mahomes thing
that it was a security guard who called the police, but I don't know. They're not giving a whole lot of information. You know, okay, if you're telling me we're going to break into houses, I'm not breaking into royalty's houses in Great Britain. I'm not breaking into the king's house, the queen's
like
house,
Robin Hood.
The princess. I guess that what you're doing?
Yeah.
You're going to rob
yeah.
from the rich and give to the poor?
Yeah.
Because I would think now you want to talk about zero chance of getting away.
And
now
you
really have zero
caught,
chance.
Then you know you can make your stand in court.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, talk about why you did it.
Down with the queen or the king, whatever.
Right.
I was surprised. At least so far they made it sound like whoever came in and stole stuff from this cottage, I looked at it, it looked like a huge castle to me. That they've gotten away with it for now?
News now from overseas concerning the royal family. Burglars broke into the grounds of Britain's Royal Windsor Castle last month, not far from the primary residence of Prince William and his family.
Police say that that burglary happened at around 11:45 at night. They say that the suspects were able to get away with a pickup truck and a quad bike before making their way to a nearby town.
You're driving a stolen pickup truck from Prince William's estate? No. That's something. These people were drunk. That is something. You got drunk. Someone dared you and your buddies to go in there, steal a four-wheeler and a pickup truck, and you were so loaded that you did it. And somehow, because it was so dumb and so brazen, no one ever would have expected anyone even attempt it, that you got away with it. At least for now.
Right.
Last I heard, they hadn't arrested anybody. They said that they made off with the four-wheeler and the pickup truck into this neighboring town. So don't drive that truck around. If we get out of it, can you imagine waking up? Because I can imagine waking up the next morning and you've got a stolen car and a stolen four-wheeler at your house. And you're like, wait, what? And this one's like, you don't remember last night we were driving by Kelsey's house. Someone said that's where Kelsey lived. And we dared you to go in there and you ran over there and you came riding out on a four-wheeler. That's the only way that's happening. I'm wasting.
Yeah.
And once I have that stuff, as Laz would say, I'm throwing it in the goddamn river.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Not keeping it.
The Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. I didn't know that the Lions had a civilian quarterback. I saved that for you. What do you think?
He seems to be doing pretty well.
Who? Nick or Goff?
Goff.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess both of them doing pretty well. But,
yeah.
I heard him say that when you went down to smoke. They're,
I know. Nick,
watching Nick Wright's
show. Taking shots at Goff.
Someone asked the panel if they thought that the Lions were the best team in the NFL, and Nick Wright said, they can't be the best team when they have a civilian at quarterback.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, them's fighting words.
Well, I mean, let's see how the Lions do.
Well, I know you say that everybody, he doesn't get the respect that he deserves, and I know you're not trying to jinx anything now.
I think he's been playing really well.
Yeah.
Really, really well. I mean, his stats are pretty good. They were pretty good last year.
Yeah.
And he said, he's good if he's protected. I think that's pretty much like everybody.
He's
that
good,
seems like
protected.
A statement about is the ball harder to catch when it's wet.
Yeah, he says
like a quarterback's
protected.
Better when they have good protection.
Mm.
Yeah,
some of them, the Goffs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think as a Lions fan when that trade happened originally? Was everyone like, "Well, That's that.
No, well, I thought it was a bridge. I thought he was okay. I mean, he'd taken his team to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He was a number one pick, wasn't
he? I always forget about that. I thought so.
Yeah.
If he wasn't, he was
really
high. He was number one. I'm almost positive.
So, you know, I thought it was good for Stafford. I thought the Lions needed to rebuild, and they did. I thought Goff would be there for a couple seasons until they got the guy that they wanted.
Yeah.
Whoever that was. But I think after a couple seasons, they're like, oh, wait. We got the guy we wanted. You know, I would say to Nick, I listened to, after the Lions beat the Rams in the playoffs, I remember Dan Campbell giving Jared Goff the game ball. And he said, you're good enough for us.
Okay.
You're good enough for us. And I think that's it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I know that you've said that there's a lot of disrespect, and you guys are buddies, and I was kind of waiting for him to...
I told him to put some respect on his name.
I know, and then today he does that, and I was like, it almost feels like he's just saying that because of that text thread this morning. But maybe not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, moving on with the news. There was some news a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about a couple of different airplanes that got shot at in Haiti. I want to say one of them was a Spirit plane. I don't know. Maybe it was the news about Spirit going bankrupt that I'm confusing. But there were definitely a couple planes that got shot at when they were either taking off or trying to land in Haiti, and they had to divert. Now, we've got a very similar story, except this time it's not in Haiti. It's in Texas, in Dallas. Mm-hmm. A Southwest plane was shot at. People on the plane didn't really know what was going on. They just knew that the pilot came on and said there'd been some sort of an issue. They ended up having to take the plane out, you know, send it to maintenance or whatever. They couldn't fly it because it had at least a bullet hole in it. But someone was shooting at planes in Dallas.
They think that somebody from outside the airport shot a firearm at the aircraft.
The mystery behind a Southwest plane hit by gunfire remains unsolved. The 737 was preparing for takeoff Friday night at Dallas Love Field Airport when officials say a bullet suddenly struck near the right side of the cockpit.
We want to return to the gate.
The pilots immediately turned the plane around and the FAA closed the runway.
It's kind of crazy that, and I get it, guns shoot real far. Okay.
Yeah, right.
But it is kind of crazy that airports, you just think they'd be so well protected that if a gun were close enough to shoot an airplane and hit it, that they could figure out with security cameras where that flash came from. Right? Who shot it? Where did it come from? And I don't know. Maybe they have some idea, but everything I've read still says they don't know who did it. You talk about a dare for your friends to put you up to as a kid.
No way.
I mean, maybe this was an adult, but for some reason, I imagine it being a teenager, a couple of teenagers, and someone daring the other one. I dare you to shoot at the plane.
No, not interested.
No. Definitely not interested.
I just told you I wouldn't steal from Walmart.
No, of course. Right. We made that clear. We didn't even want to
shoot a plane.
We didn't even want to steal CDs. So
the idea that you actually somehow magically hit the pilot in a plane crash, like, I can't imagine.
It's like those people that used to use the laser pointers and shine them at helicopters.
I might have done that.
That I would have done.
Right,
yes.
Yeah.
Although, once they started saying, there are manhunts going on for these kids.
I would have stopped that.
I would have said, no, never mind. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And I don't even think I would have had to have gotten in trouble. It's one of those where if I saw in the news that it was that big of a deal, I would have said, okay, forget it. But, yeah, you could have talked me into that. Hey, here's a laser pointer at the helicopter.
Yeah, I wouldn't have think I would have done anything.
Also, I just would have thought, like, I'll definitely get away with this. How are they going to find me? Even if they find a pack of kids down here, which they're not going to, are all my friends going to rat on me? And the answer, kids, is yes, they will. When they're facing something serious like that and they get everyone in a room separately, they are going to rat on you. So
I'm still not sure I wouldn't do that.
Shine a light
laser pointer up in the air at a helicopter. I feel like it's not going to do anything.
I can see you doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, they say it could blind the pilot.
Really?
I doubt that.
Me too.
I doubt that. I remember when laser pointers became popular. I was a kid in elementary school, and everyone was pointing them at everyone. And then suddenly they were like, hey, these things can make you go blind.
Yeah,
and that was it. They weren't allowed.
Quarterbacks on the field. Like, please stop.
And wrestling, I remember a lot of WWE. Yeah. You'd see those wrestlers come out, and they all had a bunch of laser pointers. And I'm sorry, but it also looks like a scope.
That's the
because
thing. Right.
That's what you use. So there's part of you that's like, is that a laser pointer or is that a scope? It's a cause for concern. But once they said you can blind people, that was it. You weren't allowed to bring them to school anymore, and that was that. But then I saw those news stories about kids pointing them at helicopters, and I thought that is something that I could have gotten in trouble for, and I'm glad I didn't because it would have been a real embarrassment for my parents and probably a real pain in the ass. And if your kids did it, if you found out tonight that one of your kids was shining a laser pointer at a helicopter on Friday, it's not the worst thing. Like, your kids...
No, I'd be like, come on, man. And if they were like, I didn't think it'd do anything, we're just having fun, I'd be like, yeah, I know.
It doesn't make him a bad kid.
No, not at all.
It could be a huge pain.
As opposed to shooting a gun at a helicopter.
That's a problem. Shooting a gun at a Southwest plane seems like a huge problem. Yeah. I mean, where'd they get the gun? You know what? I say it's a teenager. It probably wasn't a teenager. It was probably an adult. Probably an adult who was bored and decided to shoot at an airplane. I don't know why. Just because it sounds like something a kid would do, it has to be a kid. It probably was an adult. But I don't know, because they haven't caught the person. You remember Woodward and Bernstein? Remember
them?
Well, then we had it happen.
The movie critics, right?
We had it happen again. Yeah, the movie critics. Mm-hmm. Then we had it happen again where we've got these glitches in the Matrix, and you had this kid named Bernstein who got murdered by Woodward, and there was this whole trial about the hate crime. We talked about this when it first happened. We said, look, the Matrix is glitchy. They're running out of names. They can't get this right. It says, you know what name would sound good with Bernstein? Woodward. And then it's, you have to tell the computer, no, that's because those names already existed side by side. But this guy had looked up someone online. He wanted to find someone who was Jewish. He wanted to attack this person, presumably kill this person. And he did that. He murdered this kid. And they've been trying to get this thing... him convicted as a hate crime, and it was, and a lot of people said he should be sentenced to life in prison. Well, he was sentenced to life in prison, and by the way, I think he should have, too.
Bernstein, an Ivy League student, was briefly back in Southern California visiting his family on winter break when he was killed. Prosecutors argued Woodward searched a dating app to find someone who was Jewish and gay to kill. The jury determined it was a hate crime, and the judge agreed, sentencing Woodward to life without the possibility of parole.
Yeah, that's good, because really, at any age, if you do that, you're probably not fixable. But especially, if you're an adult, you're in your 20s, and you take the time, you go online to a dating app, you're looking for someone who's gay and Jewish.
Yeah.
I guess you just wanted both of those things, and you say, I got to make an example of this person.
Yeah.
You're gone for good.
It's too far.
That's it. Yeah, you're gone for good. I mentioned that Puff Daddy's in a lot of trouble.
Yes, you did. I had heard that.
Yeah, you'd probably heard that he'd been arrested. He was being detained, and he couldn't get bail, which was a big deal. He kept trying to get bail. I think he's still trying to get bail. And then we heard that there were more lawsuits, more accusations. Those kept coming in, even though he'd already been detained. Now they're saying, the prosecutors are saying, that Diddy has been trying to taint the potential juror pool and intimidate witnesses from jail. And they say they have some evidence of how he's been doing this. He's been using cellmates, or maybe not cellmates, but other prisoners' calling cards, using their cards to call people, which I guess you're not supposed to do. I don't know. But what you're really not supposed to do, apparently, is when you call someone who's on this approved list, because I guess if, depending on the crime, you get a list of people that you're approved to call. Mm-hmm. I would assume it's your immediate family, your lawyer, or something like that. Then he gets some of these people to do like a three-way call on their end so that he can talk to someone who's not on the approved list. And he's been allegedly working with his family to try and create this very positive social media image. Hey, we're going to do a video. The first that we'd heard his voice since the arrest was on social media when his kids posted a video of them singing happy birthday. They had a cake with candles in it.
Right.
And their dad was on speakerphone from jail.
Okay.
And you hear him
I
didn't see it either. But they said that this was all part of a coordinated effort by Diddy to try and make him look innocent, to make him look relatable, I guess. Now, when you say that there's been this effort by Diddy to intimidate people I think it's more than just, hey, you guys should post a video singing happy birthday to me. Maybe there is more to it than that, but that's the big thing.
That doesn't seem like a lot.
It doesn't seem like a lot, no.
Federal prosecutors are accusing Sean Diddy Combs of escalating his attempts to influence the jury pool and subvert his criminal case. Almost immediately after arriving at the federal jail in Brooklyn, prosecutors say Combs started using telephone accounts of at least 8 other inmates to call people not on his approved contact list. Prosecutors allege Combs frequently instructs family members and his attorneys to add other individuals via three-way call, which is not allowed. On some of those calls, prosecutors say Combs is explicit about his intention to use public statements to sway potential jurors.
And those public statements, like I said, an example would be the happy birthday. I thought they were going to say we've got him on the phone threatening to kill someone or pay someone to off a witness, right? Not post. And maybe that's really bad. I'm not a lawyer.
I don't know. All that bad to me.
But I feel like at this point, you don't have to search for things that make Puff Daddy look like he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that doesn't
seem like... So for this to be such a huge story today seems a little crazy. He's already in a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? He's got plenty to worry about. I will say, if I'm in jail and I've got that many, however many accusers, however many charges against me, I've given up. Once they've arrested me and they've searched my house, and I know that's why he made it to where he was, because he's not a quitter, but I'm not saying, you know what we should do? If you said, Lazo, if you were on the outside and you said, here, what you need to do, we should post some videos on social media. We'll get a cake. Me and Sokom will sing you a happy birthday, and you can be on speakerphone sounding like a normal guy. I would be, like, upset with you. Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
We don't, that's not going to, you think singing happy birthday?
If you said that to me, I'd be like, okay, just whatever, do it.
If you want to do it,
right.
Whatever, but I'm not getting, I'm certainly not sitting
there
scheming.
I don't think this is the answer, but I appreciate you looking into it.
Thanks, guys.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Our Twitch, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo, they want to know if winter penis is a new flavor of gum.
Nope.
Also, someone says their favorite Marvel movie, Captain America and the Winter Penis.
It's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I see a sequel, for sure, before the first one's even made.
I don't know what else winter penis could be.
Wait a second, as soon as you heard winter penis, you didn't automatically have an idea of what it probably was?
No. Like, it makes your, well, cold weather makes your penis smaller?
So that's part of it.
What else does it do to it?
Well, it makes it not work.
It makes it not work?
Yeah, it makes it not work. It affects people of all ages, by the way. Not just middle-aged guys. It can happen at any age. Winter penis, because the weather gets colder, your testicles or whatever, you know.
Why are you giggling?
Because I think they say testes is the right way, but testes is silly.
Can we call it Lazo's wiener whenever it snows here?
Yeah, that's right.
So this is coincidental. But, you know, the whole reason you have those is because the temperature difference, you know, they got to keep things at a different temperature than the rest of your body. So when you get cold, they shrink to try and get warm again. They get close to the body to try and get warmth. Well, in the wintertime, when the temperature drops, like, they already knew that stuff, but they've been learning over the past few years that not only do your testicles try and get warm, but your whole genitalia shrinks up to 50% throughout wintertime, and that can also cause it to not work. So if you have problems performing
in the winter,
just say winter penis. And then just Google winter penis. You'll find articles. I'm looking at the New York Post, but you'll find them anywhere.
The New York Post is saying a lot of people have winter penis.
They're saying doctors are warning people, again, it's that time of year to start thinking about winter penis, because you may be worried that you have other underlying health problems. And you should still look into that if you're concerned. But just know that it is extremely common for people to have deflated genitalia, smaller genitalia in the winter, and also their function is decreased quite a bit. I know you never have this problem. You've never had this problem.
Penis?
Well, I've always said that by
about summer penis too.
February is
fall penis, spring penis.
Winter's worse.
Oh no, snow gonna have spring penis.
That's right. Springy. yeah, by February I just say, like, let's just forget about it. Just wait, because usually you get that first sort of warm sunny day somewhere around St. Patrick's Day in this part of the country.
Yeah,
so I just say, you know what, by the time February rolls around, which there's Valentine's Day is right there in the middle of February, and I make a warning beforehand. It's not happening.
Got winter penis?
Just forget it. Yeah, I know I will. Now, a lot of it, though, is I don't have a libido in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. Like, by the end of the winter. But they say that's just from not getting sunlight, because something about the sun and vitamin D and
your testes shrinking.
But then now you got that on top of it. I always thought it was all mental.
Yeah.
But it is also a physical thing. And did you know a lot of women didn't know that men's penis sizes can change? They obviously know that they change between flaccid, right, and erect. But they didn't. A lot of women are unaware that men's penis sizes can actually change. Like, in a flaccid state.
I didn't know they could change.
What do you mean? Yours doesn't change all the time?
My penis size?
Yeah.
No.
Like, when you go to use the restroom, there's days where you go to use the restroom and it's 3 or 4 times bigger than it was the day before every time you went to use the restroom?
No.
Depending on what underwear and your warmth and all that stuff?
No,
your penis doesn't change sizes all the time?
I wish.
No.
Oh. Mine changes constantly. I know based on which brand of
penis?
I guess. I thought that happened to everybody.
Yeah, 3 to 4 times?
It can change a lot. I can have winter penis. Sometimes if it's at its absolute smallest, it can get really small sometimes. And then if I wear a different pair of boxer briefs, I kind of know which ones.
You're saying your penis will get three times bigger than what it is now.
Well, flaccid.
So if it's right, flaccid, but if it's flaccid. An inch flaccid, it'll be 4 inches flaccid. Or if it's two,
let's
it'll
say
be
three.
Eight.
Let's say three times. I mean, it can be. I don't want to give you flaccid. Guys any visuals here, but
is everyone on the Twitch is like
really,
that's not normal.
Really
that's
small.
That's not normal.
I didn't know that wasn't normal. Yeah, mine changes sizes quite a bit. Today I noticed it's pretty small. So, and then I saw this story about winter penis, and I was like, oh, but I also. Because of the type of boxer briefs I'm wearing, I know they tend to do that. I literally have like three or four different types of underwear,
this is
and
not
I
a
know.
Thing.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
So I'm the only person who this happens to. I seriously doubt that.
Your penis doesn't change 3 to 4 times its size, get bigger and smaller, depending on your boxers. That is not, it's not
two,
a thing.
Two
it's
to three.
It's like years ago when you tried to tell us women could get pregnant through the anus.
Oh, that's right.
But, and give birth but, through their anus.
But that's, babies, right. That's but anal babies. Birth. This is a totally separate thing. I'm not but going babies. Down that road with you again. But
it's just not a thing.
There's no way I'm the
you
only
just
one.
Make up crazy stuff. There, you're
there's no way. I'm reading you this thing about winter penis right now.
Yeah,
it says 50%.
Okay, so you said, yeah, like shrinkage. We understand you jump in a cold pool. This isn't something
but
we're
this
talking
is
about.
Shrunk
you're
for the winter.
Your wiener, depending on boxer size and the temperature
of your house, all that, yeah.
will get 4 times its size.
So forget 4. 2 or 3 times difference.
Okay, 3 times its size. That's not a thing.
It is a thing, though.
No.
Okay, so some days when I, you know what, just forget it, because you're not going to believe me anyway. I can tell by the tone of your voice right now. I was going to give you a visual.
I'm not the only one.
But there's no way I'm the only one whose penis, I never know when I go to use the restroom which one I'm going to be looking at.
I always got a pretty good idea.
Yours is always the same?
I would be shocked if my penis was 3 times bigger than what it was.
When you're cold, does it not right. shrink a bunch?
Yes.
Yeah.
But
okay.
That's
so
not a random thing, though.
I understand, but that's what I'm saying. It's that type of shrinkage. I'm saying women don't
saying
know that men's penises can do that. Yeah, you don't get cold or hot all the time?
No, I don't get cold enough to make my penis shrink 3 times its normal size. Unless I'm jumping in a pool for the first time. That's not a thing that just happens at home. When I'm like, oh, it's colder in the house, I should turn on the heat. And how do I know it's colder in the house? Because my penis shrunk 4 times its normal size?
Well, you kind of know you're chilly. You're like, I was chilly. I just didn't know it was going to be that small. But yeah.
No.
Whenever you go to use the restroom, you don't know what it
is. I can use my penis as a gauge to the temperature.
Well, it's not just that. It's also, I'm sure, your health and hormones and all that type of stuff, too. But yeah, temperature has a huge part of it, plays a huge role. That's what this whole thing is about, a winter penis. But I'm sure there's other things that contribute to that. But yeah, when I go to use the restroom, I don't know until I pull my boxer briefs down. I don't know if it's going to be smallest winter penis or if it's going to be comfortable, warm, larger penis. I thought that was a normal thing. When you get in the pool, it shrinks. So you're agreeing with that part. I'm saying it's just like that. Like if you get out of a pool,
it just
and it's really cold
in your house.
I know. I'm saying sometimes I might go to the urinal and it might look like I just got out of a swimming pool. And it might look like that all day. The next day I might go to the urinal and when I go to use the restroom, it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look shrunken like I've been in the pool. It looks. You really don't believe me.
I don't believe your penis gets 3 times its average size between yesterday and today when you're staying on the weekend because you didn't turn on.
It could be hours, I'm sure,
right, because you didn't turn on the heat.
Twitch says you got rare, medium rare, well, medium rare.
Right,
well.
I don't think it takes. No. I don't even think it takes that long. I mean, there's a possibility that I could go use the restroom and it could be the smallest winter penis, and a few hours later, it might be a different shape and size. It looks different basically every time I look at it. Your guys' doesn't look different every time you look at it? Like, you never know exactly what you're going to get?
No.
It's why when someone says...
It's similar enough at all times that I know it's mine.
Well, I know it's mine because I've seen all these different iterations.
Bigger, you wouldn't.
Well, that's
yes,
how,
because
that's
it changes back and forth.
When I got the paraphimosis, that's how I knew. In the shower, it wasn't different then. There wasn't the donut thing then, but I saw a small, like, crook, and I'm like, that's different.
Well,
I know
you got a mother's love for it.
That's different.
I still know it's mine. I know it's mine. I just don't know exactly which
state it's going to be. If I got in the shower
it's 3
times bigger, I would pass out.
Right. Yeah.
Well, mine gets really small.
If I look down at my wiener and say, if flaccid, it's 3 inches. And I look down and flaccid, it was 9 inches because it's warm out. That would be a major thing.
I feel like my penis,
your penis
in the winter
from 3 inches
can,
to 9 inches?
No, I think it can get as small when it's really cold as like an inch and a half, 2 inches. It's like basically hidden in my body.
And then it goes out of there, like just if you turn on
like
the heat.
Like 4 inches or something. No, like just like I just, it just depends on the day. It just depends on I'm telling you the truth. Now, look, what am I going to do? Start taking pictures of it? I can't do that.
Sure you can.
No, I can't.
Why?
I'm not going to start taking D-pics. I'm not doing it. Just
but
to prove a point
to you.
Just
show them to us.
No, I'm not doing it. Someone, I cannot be the only guy whose penis size changes constantly.
I don't think anybody's arguing that it changes. It gets cold. We understand shrinkage.
Yeah,
you're,
sure.
You're like, we're not. Right. You're saying three
sometimes
times.
It's like this. When
yeah,
I pull my
I
pants
understand.
Down. And
I
sometimes
understand.
It's like that. It's hanging yeah. there. Sometimes it's more kind of almost, you know, and other times it's hanging lower, just like your balls.
Our issue
that doesn't
is
happen
three
to you?
To four times.
Okay,
that's,
well,
that's
then maybe
the
it's twice as, maybe it's twice as much. It looks like three times as much
and
to me.
It's
a lot more.
To, you right. know, a normal day, yeah. that's way different.
Yeah.
You're
right.
saying
yeah.
on normal days it changes three to four times.
Yeah.
I'm saying
that's
it could.
Insane.
Yeah, I'm saying if I went
right now, you wouldn't know what size it is.
Yeah, I have an idea based on what it was earlier, but it could be different now. Yeah.
You said you were shocked today about
how
big
small
it was.
Oh, how small it was. Yeah. Because yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, it must be chilly or
it
something.
Must be cold out.
Yeah. Because, but then I remembered, oh, it's these boxes.
You should do that on the news. You should be a meteorologist with your wiener.
Well, I mean.
You know, you should do that. Like, just on. Just try to guess the weather by penis size. Make your own TikTok channel. Jesus Christ.
Just because you don't believe me. It's always like, it doesn't happen to you, so it must not be real.
Well,
my
I
penis
mean,
size changes. Okay. And it changes day to day. It can even change hour to hour. Flaccid. I don't know what I'm going to get. That I thought that happened to every guy. That's why when they go to look, they go, let me see what I'm working with right now. That's you see guys like in movies and stuff like that. Like, ah, hold on, give me a second. It's small right now. Or I just got out of the
I
pool.
I think you're trying to get
that's
erect.
Sort of
did you know that?
Oh, I think you can have better looking flaccid moments. There's all you can
right.
have some flaccid moments that look a lot better than other flaccid moments. You agree with that? Flaccid. That sometimes
I think you do the same thing. Like Snow Cone did. They're talking about fluffing it.
Fluffing it up.
No,
right.
you can have a good penis day and bad
no,
penis day.
I don't have good penis day and bad
no,
penis day.
No, what I was doing is they were fluffing it up.
Right.
That's what
I was doing. I you're just saying.
Yeah, because you're having a bad penis day.
Right. Sure. It's got it semi-erect.
No. I understand because he's having a bad penis.
He went
day.
In out there and touched it. He didn't hit it with a blow dryer.
I understand that. I'm saying because
he wasn't like, oh, let me get my wiener bigger. I'm going to go in a warm room.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Happened.
I'm saying that when he looked, he was like, oh, I'm having a bad penis
no,
day.
No,
I better
no,
fluff it first.
No part of it was a bad penis day. What he looked down and said, I'm not erect.
I know what
before I show these guys my small wiener because it's not erect, I'm going to fluff it. That's why they have fluffers.
Right.
That's
right.
what
yes, I'll have to start
he wasn't
pictures.
Like, oh, let me look at it. Ah, you know what? Looks good today. Three to four times.
So you're telling me it doesn't
right.
have good days and bad days? Your penis doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
I mean,
no.
it's
or I mean, better days than other
right.
days? Better days than other days, at the
no,
very least?
No. no. I mean, no.
I knew what it is.
Well, mine changes
so I go there to
a lot.
Change it a little bit, because I know what it's going to be.
Mine changes
so I wanted
a lot.
To change it before I present
right.
it to you.
If you didn't,
yeah.
if I didn't know, if you and you wouldn't know, you would think it's different people's penises, for sure. You would probably think these are different
right.
penises.
So, if you have a good penis day.
Yeah.
And then you make it erect. Does it stay three to four times
the no,
regular size?
The max size is probably. I thought until I read this winter penis thing that they say erect actually can shrink. I didn't know that, but no, erect should be the same size.
Okay.
All right. I'm just telling you guys. I can't be the only okay. one. Someone, please back me up here.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Well, you got any guesses? What animal you think?
Well, I mean, obviously. Chimps, gorillas, dolphins.
I would have thought.
Those
chimps.
Are all the ones that come to mind.
Dolphins.
I know it's the ocean, but I feel like, you know, they could evolve, and they're the smartest. They're the ones that could figure it out, right? I mean, we're not talking about what take over the minute we're gone.
No. They ask experts if humans were to go extinct, which creature would
eventually
become, yeah, eventually
so
take over
I feel
and be
like
the
dolphins
dominant,
could figure it out, maybe?
Dominant planet to rule the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's octopuses. Octopi? Octopussy?
Mm-hmm.
Octopi. Yeah. They say the octopus would take over the Earth, which my brother's a biologist, and I asked him one time about this. I said, what is the second smartest creature? Because I think it was one of these debates, like, is it a dolphin or a chimp? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of those things. And he said, no, it's probably the octopus. Well, okay, if octopuses got a lot bigger, like in those old pictures, those old Jules Verne days, and I imagine that thing's in the ocean. That's scary. And I know some of them are pretty big. But
well, they
it's going to dominate the ocean.
Octopuses, they change size depending on the temperature.
They change colors. That's true. They do change size.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know about size, but they change color. They can fit through things.
Yeah.
You've seen them. They're master escape artists. You ever mm-hmm. seen that video of the one escaping where they've got it on the deck of that fishing boat?
Killed a shark? I seen one kill a shark.
I haven't seen that, but I guess probably not too surprising. I don't know how big. There used to be huge ones, right? I think.
I think there still are.
Yeah, I don't know how big the biggest ones are now.
Right.
If I was in the ocean, I'd be scared of it. But that should be a separate thing. Are you telling me that they're going to rule the Earth from the ocean? Something's got to rule on land.
Do octopuses have penises?
I don't know. I just went to the zoo this weekend, but I didn't see any octopuses. You go to the zoo? Are your kids into the zoo?
No, we haven't been in a long time.
Man.
Was it fun?
We were there all day. Well, my brother texted me on Friday and asked if we wanted to go to the zoo this week and last week, and we're like, oh sure, Brooke and I, like, we should do something. We have those days where we sat at home all weekend, we should have done something, feel better about ourselves. Like, yeah, what time do you want to go? And he's like, well, I'd like to go early. And I'm like, what's early? And he's like 10 a.m I was like, whoa, okay. And I was like, but what time do they open? He's like, they're open from 9:30 to 4. He knew immediately. And I was like, all right, well, I guess if you want to go early. So I said, how about 11? Give me a little bit of time to sleep in. I'm still thinking that we leave, we're going to go to the zoo at 11. I'm thinking I'll be home by 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, right. 2 o'clock, something like that.
I think it's a little bit longer than that.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know that it took until, I guess I've been to the zoo for those, like, Brew at the Zoo things and stuff like that. But I haven't been to actually just, I don't have kids. So I haven't done a day at the zoo since I was in high school when we went for a field trip with the biology class. When I think of things that take all day, when I was a kid, I thought, Worlds of Fun. I like spending all day at Worlds of Fun.
Well, did you enjoy the zoo?
I did, except we were there all day. We walked like 4 miles. I'm just saying. It's a long day. Do your kids not like that stuff?
Well, we haven't been a long time. They haven't asked to go. I don't know. I guess I could ask them.
I didn't know if, like, I don't know
I'll
what age that
weekend.
Would what that would even be. When I was a kid, that zoo was... Did you go to the zoo in Michigan when you were a kid?
No.
Never?
I mean, I have been, but yeah, no.
But it wasn't like a normal thing to go to the Detroit Zoo?
Mm-mm.
I don't know what...
It's the Detroit Zoo.
I know. I'm saying I don't know how they feel about their zoo. You got cities
that
are very...
Pretty nice. They have commercials all the time, and, it's a big deal.
Because I think zoos are a really good example of that thing you've talked about where every city thinks they're the second or third best. Because I've heard that about so many different
zoos.
They're
all pretty much the same.
St. Louis has the second best zoo in America. Omaha has the second best zoo.
Ever.
Yeah. San Diego was always the top one when I was a kid, and then you'd hear these arguments about who had the second best zoo. I didn't know if Detroit. Kansas City, we did not do that. For all the things we do that with, the St. Patrick's Day Parade and all those things, I never heard my parents say, boys, this is the second best
zoo ever
in America. When I was a kid in the 80s, the animals, you would walk up, and anyone who's old enough and grew up in Kansas City remembers this, you'd walk up to these brick or these concrete structures, and there would be a big circular tinted window, and you'd stand up in this window, and you put your hands up to the glass and look in, and there was like a room with, I swear to God, it was like bunk beds, and that's where these lions would live.
Really?
I know that's, I'm sure a lot of zoos used to be like that, but man, the zoo is so much better now than it used to be. But yeah, when I was a kid, that's what it was like. And that's why I asked if you remember the zoo in Detroit at all.
I remember going when I was a kid, and like take field trips when you're, I think I went, I took the boys there one time and we visited.
In Detroit?
Yeah.
Were there gondolas and things like that? Did you have the sky trams or whatever? Was that part of it?
Maybe.
Okay. Because they've got that stuff now at Kansas City Zoo.
I think they had
some of it when I was a kid. It's nice. It is nice. And it is totally different. It was very, very good. But I didn't see, back to the octopus thing, I didn't see any octopuses. I feel like octopus would scare me the least. Because it's not just if humans go extinct. My thing is, if we get down to like one group of humans, it's almost extinct. We lose the ability. You and I don't know how stuff works, so we can't figure out cell phones. We're not going to be able to make new things.
I could probably figure out how to walk on the earth.
Well, that would be bad. That would be bad.
Yeah.
But if it's just you and me, and it's like, okay, now we got to survive against
with a bunch of
these animals.
Octopi?
No, just animals in general. What are you most scared of? What's going to wipe us out? There's a lot of things that I would think of before the octopi.
A walking octopi.
You're not scared.
Top of the list.
We found something you're scared of.
I do not want to fight a walking octopi.
We found an animal that lives.
I wouldn't fight it in the water.
Well, I know you don't fight things in their element in the water.
Yeah, it's their right. And now, if an eight-legged octopi is walking the earth, it can grab me with any one of those legs. There's a large advantage.
I assume if it's going to rule the world, it's going to have to walk the earth at some point.
Yeah, I would think so.
Could you take a dolphin in the water though, with a tool, not a gun and not a harpoon, But you could, I don't know, no dolphins?
No.
So nothing really, no sea creature in its element.
I swung a bat at it, you know, the resistance from the water.
It's going to have to stick its head up, and you're going to have to take that. And you won't be able to get a good swing.
No,
you can't plant your feet.
Kick me around, I can't bleed, take me down to the bottom.
Yeah.
Can't fight an ocean creature in the ocean.
And some of them I don't want to fight outside of the ocean.
On land, though.
I like gators and crocodiles. I don't really want to fight those on land either. I know they've just got that burst. I don't know how long it lasts, though. But when they run, those suckers look pretty
fast. I don't want to fight one anyway. You're right. But I'd rather fight it on land.
Oh, absolutely. Yes,
and
of course.
Take me into the water.
If I encounter an alligator or crocodile in the water, I give up.
Or even close to the water. Yeah. It take me back into it. No, but,
I'm dead.
If we were to fight it out here, I got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
More Church of Laszlo on the way.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo. What's going on?
All right, people are making fun of this. I get the impression they're making fun of this teacher in South Carolina because she's upset that a 10-year-old student of hers has been hugging her. That's the headline is that this teacher says she's being sexually harassed by a 10-year-old because the 10-year-old hugged her. But I think there's more to it than that. It's a lot of hugging, and she says that it's a specific kind of hugging. Like, she came up to the teacher, hugged very tightly, and when he hugs, he puts his head in her chest, you know, lays it on her boobs, and that she has told him, hey, you know what? We don't need to hug like that. We don't need to hug. And he started coming up behind her and hugging her from behind, and she's explained to him more than once, hey, hugging from behind is inappropriate. You shouldn't do that. And that when he comes up behind her, he grabs her by the hips to do this. He's 10 years old.
Her mom says she was shocked when she got a notice.
She feels the same way I do. Hurt, confusion.
That notice, a Title IX sexual harassment complaint against her 10-year-old child. In the complaint, the teacher says the child laid his head on her chest while hugging her. And in another instance, he hugged her from behind. The teacher claims that's when she told him hugging from behind is inappropriate. But earlier this month, she claims he hugged her from behind again. And that's when she filed the complaint.
Again? He did it more than once. Okay, so he hugs her from the front, I don't know how many times, with his head on her chest. Then he hugs her from behind. And this is what she says, that he pressed his body into hers and wrapped his arms around her tightly. I mean, I guess that's kind of how a hug works. The teacher claims that's when she told him that hugging from behind is very inappropriate and not to do it again. Mm-hmm. She says by the way, that was the boy's mom. I'm sure you gathered that. Yeah, the mom's not happy about this at all. She says that she's confused, just like her kid is confused. You know, parents are protective of their kids, and I've seen parents on these true crime things be protective of kids that are murderous. So I don't know what my mom would do if a teacher said, hey, Reed's been hugging me too much, and he's hugging me from behind, and I've now filed this complaint that he's sexually harassing me. First of all, if I knew that the teacher was upset, if she said, hey, Reed, don't do that, that's inappropriate, I would be mortified. And I would, even if I was hugging her because I was kind of horny for her. You know, I'm going to hug her like this. But as soon as she said, we don't do that,
I'd be mortified.
What?
I'd be more confused if I wasn't doing it because I was horny.
Well, right.
I'd be like, wait, what?
And that's just it. The people online who are saying this kid's 10 years old, he's not doing it because he's horny. You are so wrong. I'm not saying that he has to be.
I'm not saying that he is, right.
Right, but he certainly could be. He's 10 years old.
Bro, I like to hang out next to the babysitter.
Yes, that's not even that young. 10's not that young. I mean, no. I think the babysitter, 5-6 years old. I didn't know exactly what it was about the babysitter I liked, but by 10, by then at 10 years old, you've talked to friends about this stuff a little bit. You've looked at, you know, when we were kids.
And I probably haven't, but.
But when we were kids, we'd looked at the lingerie. At 10 years old, we'd looked at lingerie sections and stuff like that. I mean, what's 10, fourth grade? Something like that? Yeah, I definitely looked at that stuff by then.
I certainly wanted to hug the babysitter.
Yeah, by 10 for sure. And if the teacher's telling me don't do that, it's inappropriate, and I come up and hug her again from behind, like you said, I'm not saying that for sure he's doing it because he's attracted to her, but don't act like it's not possible. And the teacher, I assume she works around kids all the time. She can probably get a read on him, and there's a chance that she might not be telling us everything, because it could be like, hey, if we knew this teacher, she might be able to say, this kid is weird, he looks at me weird, and
did the mom
say
like she didn't talk to her before she... Like,
well,
I feel like that's a conversation between the principal and the mom. Yeah. Saying like, hey, we don't know what's going on, but, you know, the teacher's uncomfortable and he's hugging her from behind and grabbing her by the hips.
She says that she was hurt and confused after being unaware that it had gotten this far or that there was an issue at all. The school district said they're doing what they can to ensure both parties feel heard in this situation. Quote, as far as having a response one way or the other, our goal is to provide a safe environment for all of our students and staff. The child has now been put on a no-hug policy while the claims are being investigated. By the way, how do you investigate that? Just ask the kid if he hugs the teacher from behind, and if he doesn't deny it, then that corroborates what the teacher's saying?
What trouble do you get in?
That, I'd like to know. I mean, when they start talking about Title IX and sexual harassment, that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
I don't know. The mom says...
And I don't think you can get in trouble for that.
You're too young. You're really young. And even if you are super horny, and you were grabbing her by the hips and all those things, you're 10 years old. I think you can say, I was just hugging the teacher.
Well, I don't think you would even know how to say it.
Well, I'm saying if they come to you and say, hey, you know...
Well, I don't even think you'd have to make up a story. Like, I don't think the kid's that advanced at 10. I think you could even say, what I'm saying is you could say, well, why do you hug the teacher from behind?
Yeah.
Because it feels good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you need to lie about it. I think if the kid just told the truth, it's still not sexual harassment.
Okay, so you're saying even if the counselor comes and says,
he's like, he gave me a bone,
do you think the teacher's pretty?
Hard.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's
matter.
Still right. Yeah, no. I think it's like, yo, you can't do that. Like, you know, he probably needs to talk to someone, but I don't think it's like, oh, well, he's doing this on purpose to make her feel uncomfortable, and if she doesn't give him an A, he's going to do it again. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's...
Well, the mom thinks this whole no-hugging policy is very unfair. She thinks it's unfair. She says he's a very loving child. I feel like school should be a safe place, and him not feeling that way anymore has him in a whirl of emotions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As of now, evidence is being reviewed, and the district said it could take between 40 and 120 days before the official decision is made. What could that official decision be? But just... Bottom line, to the people saying he's 10 years old, he's not attracted to the teacher. That's not necessarily true.
No,
it's not necessarily true. And if I think back to the games that I played with the babysitter, we had one of those exercise ball type things.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, okay, you sit on the couch, and I'm going to run over there, and I'm going to jump on top of you with this exercise ball thing. Actually, okay, so this wasn't even my babysitter. I was borrowing my neighbor's babysitter, because they'd get a babysitter on Saturday mm-hmm. nights because their parents would go out. So I'd go over there. And I'd seen this babysitter. I was like, I'm going over to that house. And so I would run with this thing, and I would, I jumped on your lap with the... And then I'd come back the next time, and oops, I dropped the exercise ball, and I landed right on top of your lap. Can you believe that?
Nice.
Oops, silly me. I'm such a klutz. That girl knew, right?
She probably knew. I don't think they do. I think they think we're too young for that.
I guess they do.
Like, because I had a babysitter, and I'd be like, let's build a fort and stay underneath the blanket together.
Yes. Exactly.
And then just be under it, and the TV would be on. I'm like, I've got a boner.
Absolutely.
But I don't think she was ever like, yeah, he's got a boner. I don't think she thought that.
No, I think you're
I think
right.
She would have been freaked out. I think she just thought he's a little kid playing in a fort.
Yep. I think
little
you're right.
Did she know that I'm like, I don't know what it is, but I got a boner.
Because when this has come up with... Like, women that I've dated, that's always kind of the same shocked reaction. Like, no. Kids that young, no, there's no way.
Right.
I'm like, no, there's a way. When I was going to the neighbor's house, I was probably six or seven, something like that.
I mean, I didn't know no, but I knew.
Right, you don't know exactly where everything
goes.
I knew
I wanted to be under the covers with you.
I knew I wanted to be on her lap. I knew I wanted to touch her. I knew I wanted to be close. I had a plan, and that plan I'm going to get you to sit on this couch. I'm going to use this exercise ball as a ploy, and then I'm going to drop that exercise ball after a few jumps here. I'm going to land right on top of you. So the idea
I knew what I was doing when I went and got the blanket. It took me a while to get to where we're going to get under it together.
It's pretty good.
But there was a plan.
Were you to the point where when this babysitter was going to come over and babysit that you got excited?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Where you think about it. And then your parents, a lot of kids get upset their parents leave.
Like, oh, I'd be so mad.
My neighbors, this hot babysitter, they got a new babysitter.
But it'd be fine. I'd be like, well, I'll get under the covers with her, but that's not who I wanted.
Well,
I've been like that my entire life.
Yeah, that's kind of how.
Not what I was thinking about, but since you're here, you want to play the fort game?
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart, and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Probably won't come as a surprise to anyone. By the way, Lazo, he's still out on the phone. It sounded like, did you hear what he was saying? It sounded like something, I think he was trying to get a prescription for one of his kids or something?
I thought it was an appointment for one of his kids.
Okay, it definitely sounded like doctors and pharmacies.
Doctor stuff, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, I hope everything's okay. Uh-huh. I thought he'd be back by now, but I want to ask you something, Snowcone. When you get home tonight, What will you do? Because I just read this thing that says we are essentially as bored as we've ever been. They did this study. I don't know. It was something. I can find the name of this group. The something psychology, blah, blah, blah. But they did this long-term study, and they're looking at boredom. And if they start counting like the real digital age of being able to have things on demand, basically watching movies on demand, and eventually you get to streaming and all that. Somewhere around 2010 is when that stuff starts, which is fair, because I think the first time I saw Netflix was going to be putting movies essentially on demand or streaming, I think I still live in Seattle, so that would have been like 2007, 2008,
something
like that. Yeah,
I remember seeing the DVDs at my girlfriend's parents had the subscription. You get the DVDs in the mail. And then I remember shortly after that, I was like, oh, you can now...
Oh, see, to me, there's a much bigger gap there. We had the DVD service.
Maybe there was.
And it had come and gone, and I almost kind of thought, like, is Netflix still around? Are people still getting DVDs? But then I heard that they were going to start doing this streaming thing.
Okay, maybe that's right, yeah.
But they're blaming the digital age for our boredom. So... This just reminds me of the people who say they can't find anyone to date because everything's online now. And I think, just third-party perspective, when I hear these people complain, that they have too many options. It's like the illusion of infinite choice. So if you meet someone online, you see someone that looks interesting, you have a brief conversation via text, then you find reasons to poke holes in it, or maybe you do go out on a date. You find reasons to say, you know what, maybe not this person because I had a couple other matches in there, and even if I don't have any matches right now, I'll match with somebody else in the near future. I'll just keep my eye on that inbox and see what comes my way.
Because
you think you have this endless choice,
right?
Which is what happens with streaming.
Do.
Well, you kind of do, except that at some point you're gonna have to, just like whether it's sitting down to watch a series or a movie or dating someone, at some point you're gonna have to commit to it a little while.
Yeah,
and it's very hard to commit to a person or to even media because we have so many distractions. And they said part of the big problem is that even if you sit down to watch a movie on Netflix when you get home, you've probably got a smartphone nearby. And they have done other studies that show that if you have a smartphone within reach, that all of these things are less enjoyable. Social interactions, consuming other media, like reading books, I mean, shocking, watching a movie, because you're distracted by the phone. So now you're missing out on things, you're less interested, and also each thing becomes slightly less stimulating. So you go, this isn't stimulating enough because the phone is more stimulating right now. So I'm bored with this part of the movie. Now I've stopped paying attention completely.
It goes to our attention span, because if there's a lull in the movie or show at all, then I know I can find something else on my phone right now
that
will stimulate me.
Right. And that's what Laszlo will ask me frequently. Why do you go so long without texting me back? Where is your phone at night? And I'm serious. I do put my ringer on so that if my actual phone rings, I know the sound it makes, and that way if my mom's calling or somebody needs something, I can hear it ringing.
Right.
But it is not within my reach, and I will set it down for hours at a time, because if I don't, with my ADD, I will start looking stuff up. I won't be paying attention. I can't watch anything. I can't watch a movie or a series and also look at my phone.
That's the other trap I fall into, is I watch a movie, and like you do, like I want to see how old this person was when they were in this movie.
Exactly.
If I pick up my phone and start doing it, now I'm getting it.
Where do I know that actress from? Where have we seen
and
her?
And that leads to a rabbit hole that takes 20 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah. But now, but that still comes up all the time. I'll say, who is that person? We know her. What do we know her from? But I don't look it up anymore because I don't have my phone within reach. Because if I do, I will look it up.
That's smart.
And I lose all of that. I cannot. I certainly can't read. Reading's already become hard enough to just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to try and read this book like in a month sometimes. I've got that Charles Manson book. I'm still not finished with that.
Same.
Because I'll read a couple chapters and get on a roll, and then I will set it down and I will sit there. I keep it by my side and I look at it day in, day out, and I think, later. And every time I'm about to pick it up, I go, let me just see what's on TV.
I have a copy of it, and I haven't picked it up yet, because every time it's like, ugh.
It's competing.
I don't want to start doing that, because it doesn't sound...
Right.
That's why I'm like all audiobooks now.
Yep, it's got to compete with all these other forms of media.
Yep.
And so, like, reading a book, for me, the last time when I started that book and I came to work telling you how great it was, it was because my nephew'd been at the house. He was using our bedroom, and we were in the back bedroom where we really don't have a smart TV. So and we couldn't watch stuff back there. So I was, quote unquote, forced to read.
Yeah.
I could either do that or just go to bed. So I decided to read. And because I didn't have those distractions, I didn't have anything else to do, I was really enjoying it. And I came to work, and I'm telling you, but then when I go home that night, now it's got to compete again with my TV, my phone, all those things. So they looked at this thing, and since 2009, it's like every age range, we're all more bored, we're all less satisfied with are movies and television, even though overall we'll say now might be the best time for movies or the best time for series. The golden age of television is still here, whatever it is. But in general, college age to old age, people are more bored. And the college age kid, college kids, I thought was interesting because when I was in college, you know, living in a dorm, we had the internet, but you're surrounded by, we didn't have smartphones yet, and you're surrounded by other kids your age, so it's really easy to socialize. It's harder to not socialize. So even if they say, let's play Madden, it's a group thing where you're doing it in the room together. We're right. all in that living room together. We were all doing those right. things together. Even if someone said, let's go, I need to go grocery shopping. Oh, let me ride with you. There were so many opportunities to socialize with someone in person. Now, if I had that phone, if I had this phone in my dorm room, I think I could probably have avoided a lot of those as well.
Easily.
Not that I want to, but you get what I mean. I would have found ways to avoid it. And I'm just not surprised by this thing. This is like a headline that we're more bored now than we have been. And like I said, since 2009 is when it started going downhill.
So what's it boiled down to? Is it too much choice?
Too much choice. It's infinite choice, which they don't mention the dating thing. That's me. I'm just putting that in there because that's something that
that makes perfect sense. And I think a lot of the thing with dating is it's about knowing that you could. And so even if you find reasons to poke holes, really kind of a goal that I've suffered from, I think a lot of people have, is knowing that you could. Knowing that I'm still desirable, I could still go on dates.
Well, that's a big thing. I've heard from a lot of people.
Different conversation.
Knowing that someone is still interested in me. Yeah, exactly. But I think with the digital dating, with online dating, Tinder and Bumble and all that stuff, it is always, am I settling? Because there might be someone even better behind door number two,
right.
behind door number three. And it's always, what is behind? Whereas before digital dating, meeting someone was kind of hard.
You take what you get.
To actually meet someone to the point where you're both interested, you're both single, you're going to go out on a date. That was such a monstrous obstacle to overcome in the first place.
Like, God, that would be so impossible.
And that was such a big deal for people my age. I'm in my early 40s, but that was a big deal. I didn't use Tinder or digital dating. So if I met someone and we made it over those hurdles, it wasn't like, what's my door number two? Because this is it. Door number two, that sort of thing comes along, which leads to cheating, which is that once in a lifetime sort of moment where, oh, this person's here, I'm here, maybe there's drinking involved, whatever it is, we think we're in love. Those things happen, but it's so much less likely than when you're just thinking about, oh, my phone buzzed. Is it my mom sending me a text, or is it another match on Bumble?
But now thinking about the new love of my life. Oh, I met them at the store or the library. That seems crazy to me.
I know.
That you meet someone at the store.
So few people do it, especially American men and women between the ages of like 18 and 30. It's almost unheard of. They all are meeting.
Like, that's psychopathic behavior to me.
Well, that's just it.
So I go approach someone at a store. Like, that's crazy.
We kind of knew that those things had become, those things that were once normal behaviors had become a little more creepy and a little more creepy as time goes on. What's normal changes, and that's fine. But we are to the point now where there is serious discussion by young people about whether or not it's okay for a guy who's a stranger to approach another stranger and ask for her number or to give his number.
Right.
I've heard many people argue that, no, that's inappropriate. It puts a girl in an awkward position. She shouldn't have to do that. It's like, so the safer way, the only way to get 1,000% consent that this person wants to meet someone is to meet them on a dating app of some sort? And the answer sometimes is yes.
Because they're on the app. They signed up for it.
Well, they signed up, so obviously this is what they're asking for. Literally asking for it, right. So I think there's something to it. Now, if you meet someone in person, it's a big deal. I met this person at a get-together. This article said one of the things that we're missing out on, watching movies, reading, and going to lectures. So I guess I was never really going to lectures. But the other things, like meeting people in person, I think, has become rarer and rarer. And when someone does it now, I'm almost like, hey, good for you. Now, the thing is, once you've met in person and you start dating, now it's time to start remembering, and there's no way to say this without getting criticized or made fun of, or, what does that say about your relationship? But you also have to, within reason, you have to learn to love the one you're with.
Oh, yeah, you're big on that.
Love the one you're with. Now, if you're not in love with this person, you have to have initial spark. You got to have, I think you should be really excited about someone in the beginning. If you're not,
of course,
you know, that's a problem. You should be attracted to them. You should have those butterflies, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But as that stuff starts to fade, that doesn't mean that this relationship wasn't meant to be.
Right.
That's when you have to make the decision. Is this person worth me putting in the work, or are they not? And I know I sound like an old man here, but I see all these people who say, I can't meet anyone. It's like, you have met people, but you've decided that They're not worth the work, so let me go to the next person. Let me go to the next person. And they do touch on that here a little bit, just when they talk about the infinite choice. But it's true.
But there's you're so big on that, choice. And I always think it goes back to your middle school girlfriend and the song you guys had, that he's everything you want, he's everything you need.
That was my high school girlfriend.
I think that's why.
Her song about me.
Yes, I think that's why you're so big
so
on
she
this.
She settled for me.
Right.
But that wasn't necessarily my... I think I saw my parents. My parents argued, but... And sometimes they argue just like a lot of parents do, where you think, I don't know if you guys like each other. But in that moment, they didn't. I wasn't old enough to understand that. Like, no, right now, they really don't like each other. They don't want to be in the same room.
Right.
But they didn't stop loving each other. And I do think that you know if whether or not you're in a relationship that is worth the work or not. Whether this can be fixed. Whether the good outweighs the bad. You know that. You probably know that.
It's don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And the same goes, I guess, for watching movies and shows when you get home, because people are bored out of their minds. They can't pick anything to watch, even though they've got 10 streaming services, and Snowcone's got Fubo for $80 a month, and he still can't find anything to watch. I will tell you this. I did watch The Penguin. Lazlo kept telling me to watch Penguin.
I still need to finish
it. I finally finished it. It's a good show. The end is shocking, Snowcone.
I need to finish
shocking.
It.
Shocking.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
All
right, well, we're done, right?
That's a wrap, man.
I gotta go pee. What was your babysitter's name?
I don't remember.
You don't remember her first name?
No. You remember yours?
Good show, Dana. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.